fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I want to continue today the theme I've been touching on all week and kind of inspired by the words of Cardinal Karol Wojtyła, who became Pope John Paul II, as he stood strong and tall when he was here in the United States in 1976 and read for us the signs of the times and what the Spirit is saying to the church. He said that we're entering into the final confrontation between the gospel and the anti-gospel, the church and the anti-church. And this battle, this conflict that's unfolding in our time lies within the plans of divine providence. And it's a trial that the whole church must now take up with great zeal and courage. And in some ways, this week might have been one of the heaviest weeks of any program I've done. I've been doing this since 2005. But I think it's one of the more important weeks. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program, I'd ask you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. You can listen to the programs there on your computer or download them and put them on your iPod. But I think it's time for the church to be prophetic and to stand up and to speak the truth. Everyone knows, people can feel it in their bones, that there's something, there's deep shaking going on, that there's a kind of unraveling. And the way the scripture talks about it, the Holy Father says we're entering the final confrontation, but he said it as a cardinal. It's his reading of the spiritual condition. But you also heard what Pope Benedict XVI said, and Archbishop Vigano and Archbishop Vigneron from Detroit and others. People know what's happening. There's a great drifting away. There's a turning away from the faith. And when that happens, when the light of faith, when humanity filled with the light of God, when the church is filled with the light, and people are living fervent lives under the lordship and majesty of Jesus, they know where they've come from. They know why they're here. They want to live heroic lives, the desire to become saints and to fulfill with great hope. They can see in the person of Jesus what we're meant to be. They can see in the person of Jesus our destiny, to be glorified at the right hand of the Father in heaven, to live an eternal life in God. This is not a time for the church to be afraid. This is a time to live with courage. The willingness to sustain a wound for the sake of truth, for the defense of truth and love and God's wisdom and God's plan. This is a time when we need to stir up in our spirits the fear of the Lord. Ask God for that gift. Ask the Holy Spirit to give it to us. Scripture's so clear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Those who have no fear of the Lord, guaranteed, are going to walk in foolishness, in the futility of a darkened mind. A creature strutting through life. I'm my own master. I'll define reality on my terms. I'm in charge here. I mean, I think about this sometimes. I just was at a camp recently and sitting in a chair on a hot day waiting for other leaders to come out. We were going to have a discussion. I looked down and there was a very busy ant hill. There was hundreds of ants hard at work. And I was happened to be prayerfully thinking about some of what I've been talking about here. And as scripture talks about, man wears his pride as a necklace and he struts through the world and he's confident in his words and his declaration about what reality is all about. I thought to myself, what a pathetic thing that is, this creature. It's like an ant standing up, looking up at me as I'm towering over it and shaking its little tentacle at me saying, I'm in charge. I define what's real. It's pathetic. It's a joke. It's the futility of a darkened mind. But unfortunately, there's great consequences to it. And this is a prophetic moment for the church to be able to stand up. First, and be confident. I was thinking of all kinds of psalms that express the heart of a disciple, express the heart of one who loves God and trusts God and is walking in great confidence. Psalm 31, blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me. Love the Lord, all you his saints, exclamation point. What do we do in a time like this? Do we watch the news 24/7 and get caught in the anxiety and the panic of the world? No, what we do is we get on our knees. We worship God. We make sure we're praying daily, reading the scriptures, frequently attending mass, going to confession, engaging the mission of the church at this important moment, to not be afraid. Don't be afraid of what's going to happen to your life. Friends, we're all going to be dead soon. Life is short. It's a passing shadow. We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. You were put on this earth for a purpose, to declare God's goodness, to walk with God, to choose for God. That's why you exist. Make that choice again from the bottom of your heart. Trust in the Lord. Gather with God's people. Bring as many people with you as you can. Raise the standard, the banner of the Lord in your heart and in your home, in your neighborhood and among your friends. And let your heart burn with zeal for God's house, like it burns in Jesus and in the saints. Psalm 31 goes on. I love it. I just want to repeat again, verse 23. Love the Lord with all your heart, saints. Love the Lord, all you his saints. That's the first thing. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly requites those who are haughty. Be strong now. Let your heart take courage, all you who wait on the Lord. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Psalm 33, verse 8. It's such an important perspective and kind of standing in the world and a way to understand it. All those who are baptized into Christ, this should be our desire. Let all the earth fear the Lord. We're talking about a healthy fear of the Lord here, not a slavish fear. We're talking about a mind and a heart that grasps the greatness and the majesty of God. Why do you think Paul was so fearless in his ministry? Because he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus. He encountered the Lord, that light that shows forth from the Son of God, who dispels the darkness. He's the light that shines in the darkness. He's the Lord of all, the King of kings. And every knee is going to bend and every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. And what the church exists to communicate to the world is come and receive God's mercy. Come and receive your share. Jesus wants to give you a share in his glory and his power and his majesty. St. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 14, to this end, Christ died and rose again, that he would be Lord of the dead and of the living. Friends, that's happening. No one's going to stop it. The question is, are you freely going to acknowledge from the bottom of your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord? And are you going to invite him to be the Lord of your life? Or are you going to insist on your own way, to run with the world, define your own reality, and to come to the end of your life and to see him face to face? And you will be, scripture so clear, struck with horror. What did I do with my life? Why did I say no? Why did I say yes to my flesh? You will appear before the judgment seat of God, and you will give an account for the life you've been given, for the freedom that was yours, to exercise it toward God, toward the truth, or toward yourself and for the world. That decision needs to be made now. May God put in your heart and mind the zeal of David, the psalmist. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon those who fear him and on those who hope in his steadfast love. Those who hope in his steadfast love. When that's there, friends, zeal for the truth, zeal for the love of your neighbor, zeal for God fills your heart. I was thinking about St. Francis of Me, and I wanted to read from a little booklet I wrote. I hope you've had a chance to read. It's called St. Francis Used Words. And his biographers, those who knew him very well, describe what he was like and what moved him. And St. Bonaventure wrote this about Francis. He said, he was a sharp sword all on fire. Zeal for the salvation of others pierced the depths of Francis's heart in his burning love. If he saw a soul redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ being stained with sin, he would be overcome with sorrow. And he would weep so compassionately that he seemed to travail over them continually like a mother in Christ. Bonaventure goes on, he says, this was the reason he was so energetic in prayer, why he was so active in preaching. Christ gave himself up to death for the salvation of others, and Francis desired to follow in his footsteps. He realized he was sent by God to win for Christ the souls which the devil was trying to snatch away. So he became a herald of the gospel, and he went about the towns and the villages preaching the kingdom of God. preaching the kingdom of God, not in such words of human wisdom that human wisdom teaches, but in words taught him by the Spirit. Friends, we're all called to follow Francis. Are we called to live as Franciscans? No. Are we called to drop everything and walk? No, that's not your call, mine. But what is our call? Is to have our hearts broken as we see people walking away from the faith, as we see sin enthroned, as we see the world pounding its chest and turning away from God, to weep for the sins of men, to pray for the salvation of souls, and to become energetic in the pursuit of souls for the salvation of others. And I want to just exhort our leaders, our pastors today, and to exhort them to speak the truth to power. And maybe lay people who are tuned into the program, who are in positions of, listen to St. Francis. He wrote a letter in his day to all the politicians of the world. Listen to what he wrote. He said to all magistrates and councils and judges and governors in whatever part of the world, and to all others to whom this letter may come, Brother Francis, your little contemptible servant wishes health and peace to you. Now, this is a word I think that should be spoken to Catholics who are in positions of power, who proclaim themselves to be Catholic. Here's what he said. Consider and see that the day of death draws near. I ask you, therefore, with such reverence as I can, not to forget the Lord on account of the cares and solicitudes of this world, and not to turn aside from his commandments. For all those who forget him and decline from his commandments are cursed, and they shall be forgotten by him. And when the day of death comes, all that which they think they have shall be taken away from them. And the wiser and the more powerful they may have been in this world, so much the greater will be their torments shall they endure in hell. Now, this is lovely Francis. This is the one everybody loves, the guy who spoke to the birds and was the environmentalist, all that stuff, which was true about Francis. But here's the burning heart of Francis. We have very few things that he wrote. He wrote very little. But what is passed down to us is this letter that he was inspired to write. This man who was on fire with the love of God and so filled with joy, he loved these people so much, these leaders, that he had the courage to send them a warning as a brother in the Lord. Now, people in the world who don't know Christ, who rejected him, maybe that's not the place to start with them. But those, I mean, think about the Catholics, the Christians, the Catholics who are in Congress today, just in the United States. Some who stand up and defend partial birth abortion, who defend all kinds of things that are coming down the pike that are turning the country on its head. They need to know what Francis is saying here. Don't forget the commands of God. If you do, you will put yourself under a curse. And if you persist in it, you will experience God's judgment. That's what's at stake. That's why Francis wept. That's why Bonaventure tells us why he preached, why he labored so much, because he understood with that clarity of mind, that prophetic understanding of reality, what was truly at stake. Friends, let's beg God to give us that perspective and the courage to follow in the footsteps of Francis. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the Church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.